And a big congratulations going out to the Seattle Seahawks. Taking home the Super Bowl. Damn, I wish it was the Bears. 29-13. It is Gabe Ramirez here on 104.3 The Score, hanging out with you all the way to 5 a.m. Damn, you heard that right. That's a long 5 hours, baby. Long 5 hours. But we are ready. And this is not your typical overnight show that you typically hear me on where, you know, we're talking Bears football. And we get to sit on the therapist couch and really just break down the game and talk about what we're missing. Now, there will be some components of that. We will get the opportunity to talk about the Bears and, you know, where we feel like there's a gap between the Seahawks. I'll tell you, the first thing I think about is I wish that the Bears were able to have played the Seahawks. And at least if the Bears would have lost in the NFC Championship game, then you could have felt like, okay, then fine. And granted, the Rams beat the Bears, but I feel like the Bears were the better team in that divisional game. So I don't know. That one smarts a little bit. Anyway, Seahawks win 29-13. We're going to be talking about that. We'll be talking about Bears. We're talking Bulls. Might get some baseball in there. You never know. I got 5 hours. This is my first time doing the overnight without the Bears, where I get to just, you know, do my own thing. And from what I'm told, I have, you know, a pretty long leash here. I can do whatever I want. So what I really want to do, and this will be a thing if I continue to do these overnight shows. That's so funny. I need a first caller. Because if we're going to do this overnight show, I need it to be a thing where I still, just like the Bears season, I still need to be, this is an interactive show. So I need people to call me. So if you're one of the many, I'll call it many. Sure. Yeah, why not? Many people listening right now. Then I need my first caller. All right. 312-644-6767. What you get for being the first caller, to be determined. We got to look to see if there's anything available, if I can legally give you anything. But the fact of the matter is, we do need a first caller. So 312-644-6767. You could talk about the Super Bowl. You could talk, matter of fact, you could talk about anything sports related. I was going to say you could talk about anything, but you got to be something sports related. And Chicago centric would be ideal, so that way we can really discuss some stuff. But if I'm going to have this show overnight, people need to know they can call in. I'm not a guy that's going to be babbling for 5 hours straight. Not my jam, right? And I tell my bosses all the time, it's a solo show, sure, but I'd much rather be in a group, in a something with people. So for that, I want to open it up to you. So again, Gabe Ramirez, hanging out with you all the way till 5 o'clock here on 104.3 The Score. And let's just go ahead and take our first phone call. Jason, if I had a damn bell or a whistle or some sort, if I had like a sound effects machine right in front of me, I would be hitting you with air horns right now, because shout out to you. You're the first caller of the day.
Gabe, what's going on? We missed the overnight show. Thanks for doing this.
You know what? I'll be honest. When the bosses approached me with it, you know what it is, Jason? Sometimes, you know that the meme where they're like, you somehow became important at work, like, despite everything. So that's me.
You got big shoes to fill. We missed the Grobber.
Oh, you know, Grobber and I, we go way back. So Grob's looking down. He's thinking this is okay. You know what I'm saying? So then when they asked me to do it, I was like, you know, I could give you a couple days a week. You know, that's the best I could do for you. I could give you a couple days, but I'm glad that my overnight crew is rocking with me. So, Jason, man, I'm glad to have you on. I'm glad you're the first caller of the night. Talk to me.
I miss talking with Grobber about my wife.
My wife. I love it. Oh man, if I can get all the regulars to come through and just hang out with me. So the plan, Jason, just for those people that are just listening in for the first time, is the plan is Sunday nights into Monday and then Thursday nights into Friday. So if you're a third shifter, like, we might become homies because you might just be hearing a lot from me. All right, let's go to Al out in Valpo. Al, what's going on, brother? Glad you're on the show, man. Glad you picked up the phone, man. Glad you decided to make this a communal affair.
All right, I'm on the road anyway, almost back home. Yeah. But just wanted to touch base with you about those Bears and what they need to do to ramp up that defense. What do you think?
It's interesting, right, Al, where that's something that stood out from both teams. And for me, it was the secondary, where, you know, a lot of times we as Bears fans overvalue our players, right? And I don't really see Bears fans as Chicago fans, whether it's the Cubs, the Sox, the Bears, the Blackhawks, whatever it might be. And
sure,
you saw it with the Bulls, Al, where everybody's like, well, why didn't AK get a bunch of first round picks for these guys? And I kept tapping on the glass on CHSN and saying, hey, maybe it's because they're not as valuable as you think they are. You know what I'm saying? And so when it comes to this defense, Al, I'm watching the secondary and I'm thinking to myself, and maybe you were too, I love Jalen Johnson. I love Tyreek Stevenson. I love Nashon Wright. But these guys right here on both sides, both teams, are significantly better. Like, the secondaries were just so much better than the Chicago Bears.
It's all about speed. It's about speed there. We don't have any speed in the secondary.
Is that what you saw the most of in the Super Bowl, speed from the secondary?
Well, I saw tackling for Seattle, and I saw the coverage that they did. The Patriots have a respectable defense, and they have speed at the corners.
What else did you see, Al, when you're talking about the defenses and the gaps between what Seattle had and then what the Bears have?
They can get pressure with four, obviously.
True.
You know, the front four. And you know, they're just a good tackling team. But with the Bears, you know, to me, with the Bears, you talked about they wish the Bears had beat the Rams and played Seattle. You know, when that game went to overtime and the Bears had second and eight from the 48, is when the difference in that game was Sean McVay using his timeouts and drawing up plays and talking to his defense. In sudden death overtime, the clock is no longer an issue. And Ben Johnson forgot that. Ben Johnson went to bed with three timeouts that night, and he needed to call a timeout there telling Caleb, hey, 15 yards and we're going to the championship game. Use your legs. Take the check down because we've got three plays to get 8 yards here, and now we're knocking on the door of the field goal. And McVay, when he called his timeout, he brought 12 and he brought 12 over, and Stafford, and told him, hey, if the Bears corner blitz, 3 yards, hit it to him. What'd they do? The Bears corner blitz. Stafford stood up, threw it to him, 3 yards. He got 18 yards later, and the Rams are going to win the game on a field goal. They set him in motion and did it, and they did it right off the tight end. And that was, and McVay did them both off a timeout. And I just thought that was the difference. I thought all throughout the year, I thought Johnson didn't use his timeouts correctly a lot at the end of the games. He let a lot of clock run off when he didn't need to. But, you know, again, one of the things the Bears prospered over, I believe, was that last place schedule. Same as New England. You know, a lot of teams prosper off that. And, you know, it's going to be a lot different next year when they have to play that first place schedule.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Thanks for the call, Al. I mean, you know, that's objective, right? It's like the Bears had one of the easier schedules, as did the Patriots. But the fact of the matter is you got to go out and win those games. And I think the Bears did a good job of that. I think, you know, you make the case for the Chicago Bears to have a better defense. I support that. I think everybody would. And you can see the differences between what a Super Bowl team looks like and what your respective squad is. The timeouts and Ben Johnson, okay, yeah. I agree with you. I've died on that hill. First and 10 from the 50-yard line, and Caleb Williams is the quarterback. Bears should get a field goal 10 out of 10 times. 10 out of 10 times. And the fact that it somehow snuck in where it didn't happen that game, you know, is that. But, you know, it's a game that we can play a lot of. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out here on 104.3 The Score, taking your phone calls. Shout out to the first two people, bro. Grand Leader producing today. Grand's like, what are we going to do? I said, phone calls, baby.
Hey, I didn't know.
I'm telling you.
We always do Bears overnight.
I know.
Not just overnights.
And Chicago is, like, if there's one thing in Chicago, and Ryan, I'm going to get to you in a second, Jared as well. One thing about Chicago is, I'll never forget. So I actually was in San Francisco to watch the Bears, like, the second to last game against the Niners. So I was out there, and I just remember I landed Friday morning, like, at, I don't know, 1 a.m. And we get to our hotel, and I'm like, I'm going to go tell him the bell front door guy. I'm like, I'm going to go walk around, you know, see what I can get into. And I was with my boy. And he's like, there's nothing open. And I was like, I know, but, like, you know, I know everything closes at 2 o'clock in California, but there's got to be some, like, afters or some, like, parties that you can, like, slide into. He's like, nah, you're not going to find anything. So I'm walking around, find a random pizza spot, figure I can ask that guy. He probably knows where the afters is. He's like, nah, nothing around here, man. And I'm thinking, if this is Chicago, you'd be having conversations with regular people walking around the streets. Because Chicago stays up later. That's the point that I'm trying to make. It's 12:12 in Chicago right now. And people are up listening and making phone calls because you want to know why? The Gabe Ramirez show from 12 to 5 is going to be taking phone calls. So let's continue to do so. All right, we got Ryan out in Oak Forest. Ryan, welcome to the show, brother. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, hey, it's good to hear from you. I wasn't expecting it. I was listening to the National Westwood One guy, then boom, we get a surprise.
Look at that. And you'll get a surprise, you know, for the next couple of weeks. So make sure you're hanging out with me, Ryan. I expect phone calls from you.
Yeah, and you never answer me. Did you guys play Sexy Back on B96 after the Bulls trade for Sexton?
You know what? I did not do that, but how would it go? They're not bringing Sexton back because he wasn't here to begin with. But I liked where you were going. We're bringing Sexton. Yeah, maybe we could do that. We could do that. All right.
He comes back from injury. Yeah. So I know that they're both in the NFC, but just imagine the Bears were in that same situation that the Patriots were in against Seattle, specifically in the Super Bowl, not the conference, with a goose egg and an offense bailed out by its defense coming into the fourth. I think our guys, Caleb, Ben Johnson, Tuninum, we definitely rally and come back, no? I mean, that fumbleception to Uchenna and Wosu for six, I won a ton of cash off that. But I only played that because I knew you could do that to Drake. You can't do that to Caleb. So when people say he's any better, I'm like, Soulja Boy. I'm going, Drake? Drake?
That's great, Ryan. Dude, you got to keep these coming, man. I need these. It's got to be like Ryan's monologue, but I'm going to come up with Ryan something. Ryan roasts. I need my Ryan roast weekly when I'm doing this show, Ryan. So I need you to call in so I can get that. But you're absolutely right. When you saw Drake May try to escape, and this is somebody, Ryan, that people talked about highly of in terms of escapability, you know, use of legs. He wasn't as elusive as Caleb Williams is. And so when you saw Seattle defenders get home and Drake failed at escaping, you thought to yourself, you know, man, Caleb would have got away from that. Let's say, for example, the Sam Darnold throw to Jackson Smith and Jigba where they blitzed, he steps up, he overthrows Jackson Smith by like 4 yards. Caleb would have had several of those throughout the game. Look at me, Ryan, trying to make a case that the Bears could have won the Super Bowl. Look at me. Look how scorned I am as a Bears fan.
You're talking about him overthrowing him, right?
Yeah, overthrowing Jackson Smith and Jigba. So, I don't know, Ryan. Let me ask you this, Ryan, because I trust you. I value your opinion. How far do you think is the ceiling the same next year as it was this year for the Bears? Because my ceiling for the Bears was NFC Championship game.
You know what? The ceiling is the roof. I mean, it's even better now because we have more time to really get used to things because Ben Johnson, though, was his first year there. So just imagine how things are going to tie up in the second year. I don't think it'll be like Matt Nagy where defenses kind of figure it out. I mean, guys are wide open all the time. You know, defense should get better, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is something that they're going to have to really work on and get to that place. But it's going to be an interesting ride. And it's cool to see, you know, a team that you weren't necessarily expecting, right, Ryan, to get to the Super Bowl and win it. And it just lets you know, we're in a different era of sports, whether it's not with only sport where it's not different is baseball because the Dodgers just continue to run that sport. But when you're thinking about the NBA, they've had different champions the last 5 seasons, NFL, different champions. So, you know, there's parity out there in sports. And I think the Bears can be the beneficiary of that by putting some good seasons together with Ben Johnson. Hey, Ryan, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling in. I really do.
Yep, anytime, any week.
Well, it'll be Thursday night into Friday. I expect to see you then. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Seattle Seahawks beat the New England Patriots 29-13. This is a game that was boring. It was already in the hands of the Seattle Seahawks. They were up 19-0 at one point. The Patriots, you know, backdoored a couple of scores. But for the most part, Seattle's dominance really came out on top in this one. And we're trying to just see the gap between Seattle and the Bears. It was unfortunate we weren't able to see it firsthand in the NFC Championship game. But we can play this one, theoretically, here on this show. Let's go to Bill out in Greenwood. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, Gabe. I just wanted to bring up one point that the other call that you had, sure, made a very great point that, you know, the Bears got out coached in that game against the Rams. But one thing you have to remember is McVay from the Rams has won a Super Bowl, okay? And the Bears head coach, Ben Johnson, he is the first coach in the history of that organization to win a playoff game in his first year. And, okay, I have no problem with getting out-coached by a guy that's got a Super Bowl ring. I'll take that guy over Eberflus or Nagy or any other clowns that the Bears organization has had. This guy is the Bears in the right direction. It would have been great if they could have played the Seahawks for the NFC Championship. Didn't work out. Didn't work out. But I'll take that guy over any other coach with the Bears of Ditka. Any other coach.
Bill, do you think you'd love him so much that you would get a tattoo of Ben Johnson?
No. No, absolutely not. I don't have any tattoos. I'm an old man. It's not me.
Same. I don't put a bumper sticker on a Corvette. You know, it's just not my jam. I have a perfect body as well, Bill. When it comes.
Well, I don't have a perfect body, but I'm an old man. But I just, for him to put Ben Johnson in a Super Bowl, I mean, he's going to win a Super Bowl. And you're looking at the guy from the Rams. He right. was, you know, very close to being a two-time Super Bowl head coach.
Yeah.
I have no problem with Ben Johnson, a first-year head coach, being out-coached by McVay from the Rams.
It's one of those situations, Bill, where you expect it. It should be expected. If Sean McVay didn't out-coach Ben Johnson, it would say more about Sean McVay than it would say about Ben Johnson, right, in that scenario. And listen, I think, you know, I've made this comp often, which is, you know, if we've all started a job at one point in our lives, Bill, and we all can think back to our first day, our first week, our first month. And we can also look back and think how much different year one was than that moment, right? Where you know where the coffee machine is, you know, the sneaky place to find the paper towels when you need them. Like just small things like that and nuanced things like that, that you know, and that can only come with time. It is no different when you're a head coach. Even though you've been an offensive coordinator, you've been in those rooms, you need reps as a head coach so that you can see what overtime looks like after you've punted the ball or after the opposing team has punted the ball. You can see those small little things. Like even for example, Bill, Ben Johnson didn't call a timeout on that last field goal kick by the Rams to potentially even just ice the kicker. And I wonder if he thinks back to it and he's like, you know what, damn, I probably should have just called the timeout instead of, you know, playing around and then thinking like I was playing a mind game. Just small things like that. But you can't have a good opinion on those things until you've experienced it in real time. And that's what we've seen Ben Johnson do. But Bill, if Ben Johnson actually goes out and wins the Super Bowl, maybe you and I should get the tattoos.
Maybe not a tattoo, but how about we get together and have a few beers and a couple shots?
I'll take that. I'll take that. That'll work for me, Bill. I appreciate the phone call. 312-644-6767. I am Gabe Ramirez, your therapist for overnight, because you can talk about anything with me. It's not just the Bears. Bulls, Cubs, Blackhawks. I'm deep in my Blackhawks game. If you guys don't know, I'm realizing that not as many people as I like to think in my brain have CHSN and are able to watch me on TV. I've talked to several people over the weekend where I've told them what I'm doing now, and then they're like, they apologize immediately because they don't have CHSN. I'm like, oh, yeah, CHSN, the new channel with the Blackhawks and the Bulls. Like, yeah, I do a TV show on there called The Chicago Lead. They're like, oh, dude, so sorry I don't have CHSN. I'm like, oh, it's all good.
Got to fix it, man.
It's all good, bro. It's all good. I get it. I only have it. Here, you want to tell? I'll tell you exactly who to. Oh, this is a great story. Jared, I'm going to get to you in just one second. I'm going to tell this story several times throughout the day, but I had the incredible luck. I won't even call it luxury. I had the incredible luck of doing a little color commentary for the Chicago Bulls on Saturday. Myself, Chuck Swirsky, we were able to get it in. And Chuck was the one that was telling me, as a matter of fact. He's like, I don't even have CHSN. And he's like, and I, you know, and I'm calling the games. I'm calling the Bulls games. And he's like, I don't need to watch them. I don't need to watch the Bulls. He's like, so I don't need.
He watches the front row seat every time.
I get a front row seat. And he's like, you know, And I'm like, Chuck, don't worry about it, dude. It's all good. It's okay if you don't have CHSN and you don't watch me and David Hall on the Chicago Lead. It's okay. Now, if you're wondering and saying, Gabe, did you just say you did color commentary for the Bulls on Saturday with Chuck Swirsky? Yes, absolutely, I did. Now, it wasn't supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to happen. I was filling in for Alyssa Bergamini. And that's why in this job, and not this job, let me be very clear, any job for that matter, to my young folks out there, you just always got to say yes, right? You always say yes. And when they say your best ability is availability, that is not a saying. That is a fact. It is just life fact. And so, obviously, I'm available. I'm filling in for Alyssa Bergamini. Bill Winnington gets sick. And they're like, hey, we need you to do like all the in-game reads like Bill Winnington would do. And I said, absolutely. I got no problem with that. And then I tried to remind people, I do cover the Bulls for Chicago Sports Network. I do have a TV show where I cover those. And it is my favorite sport with my favorite team. I'm very much capable of doing this job. But they didn't want me to do it. I said, okay, no problem. So we get in the building. I'm doing my pregame. Get on the air, do my Circus Sports, shout out Circus Sports, do all that stuff. Chuck's rolling solo, and I'm thinking, I'm even telling my wife. She's like, he's not going to do anything with you? I said, babe, it's Chuck Swirsky. He's been doing this for 30 years. Chuck Swirsky could do a game. Chuck Swirsky could call a game blindfolded. Based off how the ball is bouncing on the hardwood, he would know what's going on. So we get there. He's starting his, you know, you dig, and I'm chilling. You know, the engineer, Rich Wyatt, told me I'm not going to talk, and I said, I get it. I heard you. I'm not doing color. Fine. So I'm sitting there courtside saying what's up to all my people. Ruthie Polinsky, DJ Metro, the whole nine. Adam Amin gave me a hug. Feeling like the man. Can't say a word. Then Chuck Swirsky begins. And all of a sudden he's talking. And he's like, nah, Gabe. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking to myself, now, damn it. Everybody told me I wasn't going to be talking today. And Chuck Swirsky, 1 minute into this thing, tosses it to me. And he's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Now, here's a little, this is the beauty of overnight. I get to talk a little bit more. Now, I've dealt with this situation many times in my career where it is not a secret that I come from pop radio, right? That I was at B96 for a long time. This is no secret. So what happens was over the last 8 years that I've been doing sports in Chicago, when you first get on a set, sports people are real finicky in that sense where they feel like you don't belong to the fraternity. And so what happens is, especially being the pop culture guy, when you walk into these rooms, you have to almost prove yourself immediately in order to earn some credibility. And I've dealt with this before, whether it's David Kaplan on Sports Talk Live on NBC Sports, whether it's Sports Talk or Chicago Sports Tonight on Fox 32, Sports Zone, any of these shows I've been on, it's always the same thing where you're on somewhere with somebody that doesn't know you, and they're like, why am I on this show with this pop culture guy? And then all of a sudden I start spitting facts, and they're like, oh, damn, he knows what he's talking about. And that's how I've won people over for the last 8 years. Saturday, no different. Chuck Swirsky tosses it to me, and I hit him with gems because I know the Bulls. I know this team. I know the trades. I know the players. I know who's come over from these different teams because I know those players from different teams because I know I love the NBA. So I'm spitting facts, and then all of a sudden, you can just tell in real time, Chuck like almost lets out this sigh of relief, like, oh, damn, I'm going to be good. And so I was patient. I wasn't injecting myself like a normal color commentary broadcaster would. I just sat back and relaxed, and then I find my moments. And then I say whatever I had to say. And then all of a sudden, before you knew it, I was throwing myself in like a regular color. And Chuck was with it. And so the coolest thing was that at the beginning of the Bulls broadcast, Chuck was very adamant and was like, it's Chuck Swirsky. Gabe Ramirez filling in for Alyssa Bergamini. Bill Wennington's out sick tonight. That's how he started. By the fourth quarter, it was Chuck Swirsky, Gabe Ramirez filling in for Bill Wennington. Ooh, it was
filling in for two jobs.
Filling in, baby. Matter of fact, Sean Sears, if you're listening right now, shout out Sean Sears, one of the other guys grabbing audio from the Super Bowl. I need all 2.5 hours of that Bulls game. On a jump drive, on a Google Drive, something, I need it because I need all those clips. Because if I'm going to make my demo reel for being a color commentator, then I have to go ahead and get that. But it was awesome. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later. Like I said, I'll be talking about it a couple times throughout the day. But a great story about needing to be prepared, right? And believability in yourself, right? I think a lot of times, Grant, this could be true for you. This could be true for Jared that's waiting a hold. Anybody else that's on these lines. A lot of times we have a lot of self-doubt. Right, you're like, damn, am I going to be able to fill in the blank, right? I don't know if I should do that because fill in the blank, right? And the fact of the matter is you are more than capable. You personally, you can do these things that you doubt yourself about. You just haven't been given the opportunity, right? So the doubt comes in because the opportunity hasn't presented itself. But the fact of the matter is you can do those things, right? And that's what the mindset needs to be. When moving forward, when thinking about goals that you want or, you know, things that haven't happened yet. It's like, no, these are all very true and real. It's just about the opportunity presenting. Like, do I feel like I can do color for the Bulls? Not like Stacey King, but do I feel like I'm capable? Like I can? Sure. And then when the opportunity presented itself, I did it. So again, you can't doubt yourself into thinking those things. Oh, I didn't get the job yet, so I must not be good enough yet, or I must not, you know, have the skill yet, or that guy must have been better than me. No, it's just the opportunity wasn't there. So again, this is more of a soliloquy about belief in yourself, and that way you shouldn't doubt anything. Listen, the Seahawks didn't doubt themselves. They won the Super Bowl 29-13 against the New England Patriots, and we get the opportunity to talk about that. And the gap between, you know, both of those teams, not just the Seahawks, but the Patriots as well, if you're going to try to measure up the Bears, always. Just to show respect to the people that I'm in the room with, boys.
You know, a good let's go gents is always
love
a good one.
Love the gents. Yes. Love gents.
How hey, we doing, gents?
Hey, gents. No. Love that.
That goes a far way. Yeah. You know, that carries weight.
If I walked into the producer's room right there, and let's say it was like three of you guys, let's say it was like you, Tyler Butabar, Ray Diaz. Hey, boys, I need some clips cut.
I mean, we would just be like, yeah, sure, no problem.
Of course, yes. And that's the thing, because it's a saying. People do it. But me, internally, I'd be like, bro, who are you talking to like that, bro? Bro, who are you talking to like that? All right. Midnight Owls, who are the who? I love this. Who are the who is my favorite right now. Who are the who? We are.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Who are the who? We are. It's like the Saints. Who said they're going to beat them Saints?
And the Bengals are who they.
Who they, right. Who they, who that. And we could be who are the who. Who?
I don't know if we could call ourselves the who, because I think, true. You know, there's a band back in the 70s that called themselves that.
I love these text messages coming. We'll keep them coming. 312-644-6767. I am Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. We have plenty of time left. Plenty of time left. So with that being said, want to get your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Want to hear what it is you guys thought. Then the gaps, right? I think that's the biggest chat I'm having right now is the gaps between the Bears and the Seahawks. We didn't get a chance. The Bears didn't get a chance to play them. But what does that look like? All right. But love to talk NFL. But if anybody wants to talk the NBA, a lot of new guys on this Bulls squad. I would love to chat some Bulls. And I think we're going to do that. On the other side. So some Super Bowl chat and the gaps between the Seahawks and the Bears, and then a little reset button, little deadline aftermath, what happened to the Chicago Bulls. We'll discuss both on the other side. But what you doing? You little night owl? 312-644-6767. Can't wait to talk to you. Who? You. Next, right here on 104.3 The Score.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Armstrong stretch, four-man rush. Here's the snap. He moves up. Oh, he fumbled the ball. and Seattle's recovered. He was hit. The ball crowbarred free. It's a fumble by the Patriot quarterback. And Seattle has recovered at the 37 of New England. First turnover of the game in Super Bowl 60.
Shout out Westwood One for the clip. Kevin Harlan on the call. Gabe Ramirez with you till 5 a.m. right here on 104.3 The Score. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Who are the who? It's you calling right now. All right, talking about this one. Seahawks win 29-13 to become Super Bowl champions. Sam Darnold, just the fourth quarterback in NFL history to win a Super Bowl with his first year with the team. And it was quite the performance, not just by Sam Darnold, but the entire Seahawks staff. Defensively, they just caused havoc all night long, whether it was the defensive ends, whether it was up the middle with some of their backup DTs, whether it was Witherspoon coming off the edge, the Illinois boy. I mean, there were just so many things that you can say about this Seattle team, but what you noticed more so than anything else was the level of execution. They operated at a high level, and that's what you saw. Not only was it, you know, Seattle's defense, Patriots defense as well, Christian Gonzalez making some great plays, but ultimately, you know, when you can run the clock the way that they can and stop these forces, you're going to get yourselves a victory, and it's exactly what Seattle did. But there's a gap that exists, between Seattle and the Bears. And I'm curious if you're out there right now and you're thinking about, maybe you didn't see the game, but you keep hearing about the defense, you keep hearing about, you know, on the other side of the ball. Because I'll tell you this, one narrative that I feel like has been broken this year specifically is this narrative that, you know, you have to have time in a system. When you're looking at both the quarterbacks that were in the Super Bowl, I mean, Drake May, first year under that offensive coordinator. When you're looking at, of course, Sam Darnold, same thing, first year with the Seattle Seahawks. What excuses are we making for those guys? If we say, oh, well, it's the first year with this offense going to struggle. Well, both of these guys just proved that wrong. And so there are other performances that were like that out there in the league as well. I mean, obviously Caleb Williams being one of them, performing at a high level, getting to that. So when you're looking at the teams that were left, you know, Sean Payton obviously didn't have Bo Nix, but that would have been year two there. Sean McVay with Matthew Stafford, obviously several seasons together. But everybody else is just new. And now you're going to see teams, you know, obviously the Bills will look a little different, even though, you know, Brady's the head coach now. He's still the offensive coordinator, so they'll be running the same system. You're looking at the Ravens with Declan Doyle. What is that going to look like in year one? So there's a lot of, I mean, even if you're looking at the Giants with Matt Nagy, right? Jackson Dart, is he going to look different? Are they going to dumb down the offense for them? So definitely things to look at with those squads, but again, I go back to the execution. You have to execute at the highest level possible. And I think they almost pointed out, never had there ever been a Super Bowl where there was no penalties called in the first half. And then, of course, they jinxed it because seconds later, it was a false start penalty on the Patriots. But when I heard that stat, I just went back to think about execution and what that was like, right? The Bears struggled with that mightily in the first half of the season. Cleaned it up at the end. But if you like, you can't just be good. You have to be good and play clean football. And that's what we saw from both of these teams. But I'm curious your thoughts on this one when you're thinking about not only the Super Bowl, but the Chicago Bears, you know, gaps between the two. You know, because I think about this one and you're saying, okay, well, what still remains true? And that is that, you know, games are won in the trenches. Now you hear it year in and year out. Patriots have an offensive line with two rookies starting next to each other. The Seattle Seahawks go 7-8 deep on that rotation, right? So defense being back, trenches still winning in February. Quarterback pressure consistently. So, you know, what does this tell you about what the Bears need to be built like during this offseason? Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Feel free to call in. This show is nothing without you. I do not want to talk to myself for three more hours. So phone lines are open for you to go ahead and call in. Text message is going crazy. everybody's loving this what should we name the night crew? I got not Darth Vader, but Dark Invader, huh? I don't think we want to call people the Dark Invaders.
No, probably not.
I think we're gonna skip on that one. You know what I mean? It says the Night Owls is perfect because if the Bears move to Indiana, the Bears will be the Hoosiers.
Who?
They'll be in the Hoosier State. Oh my God, that's so great. See, these are the dad jokes that I need. It says, you like Who themes? How about Whoville? I'm just thrilled to have a local flavor in Westwood National Crap, not the Westwood National Crap in this slot. Fair. I get it. Listen, I get it. If you
shout
are awake.
Westwood 1.
Shout out Westwood 1. But I mean, I think we all would agree. And not that I'm doing the best radio in the world right now, but it's better to be live and local and have somebody that's talking about your Bears. There's nothing more upsetting. And this is no knock at the other sports station here in the city. But I'm talking about just like from a consumer, like just like you listening. There's nothing worse than like a Bears game finishing or Bulls or Cubs or something like that. And then you toss over to a station and they're talking about like the Jets. There's nothing worse than that. And you're literally looking at the station like, what are you doing? I do not want to hear this. So today, where the Super Bowl kicked off, where normally you'd probably be listening to Super Bowl coverage on a national show, you get the Super Bowl coverage with a local twist. You know, you get to talk about, you know, Caleb Williams compared to Drake May and Sam Darnold. You get to talk about, you know, not that anybody stood out offensively, but you do need a workhorse of a running back, and you do need a good defense to slow down these explosive offenses. And I think that's what you're learning. Can you have a Caleb Williams? Yes. But Caleb Williams, against the top-tier defense, is going to perform slightly worse than he normally would. And I think you see it in the NBA a lot, where you have guys that put up 30 points consistently, and then once you get an actual lockdown defender on them, they don't perform at that high level, or the team doesn't score as many points. And why is that? Well, because that jump shot's not as easy when you got a hand in your face, right? Or you're not getting as many rebounds because there might be an elbow in your back. Well, I think the same thing holds true for defensively with the Bears. You got to be playing. You got to have a good defense to minimize the offense production of the opposing team while still playing at a high level offensively, right? And so I think where you might have thought the Bears defense was good, you quickly watched the Seahawks and the Patriots and realized there is a gap there. But how do you close the gap, right? What needs to be done in order for the Bears to get to that part? It's an interesting question. An interesting question, one that we're constantly trying to find the answers to. And we'll get to the Bears, you know, coaching carousel after Declan Doyle leaves and who they ended up, you know, filling in for that position. But we'll see. Can the Bears get to the Super Bowl next year? I was asked a question on the Chicago lead. Myself, David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky, and it was, who's more likely to get back to the Super Bowl next year? The Seahawks or the Patriots?
Probably Seahawks. I think the AFC is a lot more stronger than NFC.
See, and then I said, Bad Bunny.
I said, well, maybe, yeah.
Oh, I said, because neither one of those teams are going to be able to make it back. I just think the NFL is going to look so much different next year, right? Especially on both sides, NFC and AFC. It's going to look so much different, and I can't imagine either of those teams getting back to the Super Bowl, but is that hard? Is that hard? Got a bunch of text messages coming in about Bad Bunny. Not on the score line, not on the Night Owl line, just on my own personal text message line. I'm going to talk a little Bulls for the next couple of minutes because Lord knows I might not be able to talk about them for another. But this is the part, Grant, this is the part of the overnights that bother me. It's like I am now going to talk 10 minutes straight about Bulls. With like no interruptions, nobody's gonna call in and talk about Bulls, you know. Like nobody cares about the guys that they have, this rec league that they've put together, and people know that I love the Bulls, and I try to tell them, they're like, dude, Gabe, the Bulls. How do you go on CHSN and talk about the Bulls positively? That's what I get all the time. How do you talk about the White Sox positively on the channel? Easily. Yes, Grant, that is it, most certainly. But I think it's just like, it's easy. You try to, I'm a positive person. So I want to put a positive spin on everything. So if you're telling me, you know, why do you like the Bulls and the moves that they, well, have you seen Gershon Yabusele play yet? This guy, they call him the Dancing Bear. He is so big. And I'm not talking about height wise, I'm talking about like width. He's such a big dude. And then the first game against, you know, the Toronto Raptors, he goes out and grabs 11 boards, puts up a double-double. And you're like, okay. Like, it's not saying that they got world beaters, but there is something cool to watch guys get an opportunity. And I think that's what you're seeing more so than anything else, where somebody like Anthony Simons, somebody like Rob Dillingham, that's not getting a lot of minutes, they get the opportunity, and then you're saying, okay, well, you thought you couldn't produce big numbers because you were playing behind Anthony Edwards. Colin Sexton, you couldn't get loose because LaMelo Ball was shooting too much. Yabusele, you have Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks, you know, playing in front of you, so you weren't getting a lot of tick. Who else is out there? Jaden Ivey, Kate Cunningham's playing 40 minutes a game. You're not doing anything with that.
I just think the Pistons gave up on him, though.
I mean, he got hurt, and he didn't... I don't know if it's they gave up on him. I think that once you find a rotation that's playing well, and then you start adding veterans, right, guys that can eat up minutes, then you don't need a ball-dominant scoring guard.
Yeah, but wasn't he drafted like fifth overall?
Yeah. But remember, that was before they started getting like the Thompson twin, you know, before they started getting deep. Like, he was the original rebuild for them. You know what I'm saying? And then remember, he came from a Purdue team where he wins the national championship. He's the primary scorer. He's the primary ball handler. And then you try to fit into a team where you're like the sixth man. You're the afterthought. You're not the man anymore. So one thing I noticed about Jaden Ivey watching the game on Saturday, he's a bigger body than you think, right? You run across that often where guys are just bigger than you think. So he was the biggest of the guards that they got. Where Anthony Simons, Rob Dillingham, they were smaller, thinner guys. Jaden Ivey was like a big body. He was more Ayo Dosunmu than anything else. So, but he can knock down a three consistently, which I thought was cool. You also had a guy named Richards who came from the Phoenix Suns. He was doing backup minutes instead of Lachlan Olbrich. He had like 15 points, which is crazy. But I mean, so there's, again, you got guys that they're going to be given an opportunity, and they have to balance this out where I want to play for myself and my new contract, but I also want to play within the confines of the team and what Billy Donovan is trying to execute. So it looks like Billy is going with this three-man guard rotation, and then plugging in two bigs, whoever that might be, Patrick Williams, you know, whoever that is. Jalen Smith's been hurt, obviously, so he's not going to be in there. Zach Collins hurt. So those guys will get in the rotation, but the other three spots go to guards. And whoever that is in a given moment, that'll just be who it is. But don't forget, Josh Giddey not in, Trey Jones still out. So you're seeing these three-man lineups come in. And Rob Dillingham, I'll give you my assessment. You could tell, now Minnesota gave up on Rob Dillingham. They really gave up on him. And but you could see why in 5 minutes of watching him play. You're like, well, dude, you never got a grown man body. You out here still eating probably like Skittles and, you know, McDonald's cheeseburgers. Like, you're not bulking up. And Rob Dillingham's a smaller guy. Super quick, a bucket, definitely is a pass first point guard. But he's small. So, like, when you get to the cup, he's so little. Like, he can't withstand anything. So that's why he's hurt. He got hurt last year. It's like, you got to bulk up. You got to play in the NBA is really physical. I know a lot of people don't realize that, but it's very physical. And then when you put Rob Dillingham against Jaden Ivey, Anthony Simons, and you're watching him, and then Colin Sexton too. Colin Sexton is the biggest guard of them all. A little bit shorter than Jaden Ivey, but more muscular. But that's because he's been in the league. He's put on that weight, and so I think that's what you're really hoping for is, you know, for one of those guards to just come through and be a contributor, right? Because Josh Giddey's going to come in and make everybody's job easier because he's going to be the ball dominant guard on the team. So then when you're looking at the other guards, it's like, that's where, you know, Anthony Simons, I know, I feel like I'm giving a damn history lesson on the Bulls because nobody knows what the hell is going on. Anthony Simons makes over 20-something million, I think it's like $27 million a year, right? And he was a guy where they paid him, But obviously, not that he's not living up to his contract, but $27 million is a lot of money. Ask Josh Giddey. He didn't get paid that. So I think contracts are starting to come down to reality. And so Anfernee Simons, I say that to say, he should be the best player that you got out of all the guards. So that way you can kind of figure that out, right? If you're watching some Bulls and trying to figure out what the rotation and who these guys are. Anfernee Simons should be the best guard that the Bulls got, not only off of sheer dollars, but points per game. He is a bucket. When you watch him, he is smooth as butter, could shoot the three effortlessly, and he's a very shifty guard in that if you play basketball ever, when you got somebody that got handles and could go right and left equally as well, but you don't know how to guard them because they could just go, which that's Anfernee Simons. But he wants to score. Rob Dillingham is like Anfernee Simons with the handles, but he wants to pass. Jaden Ivey thinks he's Anfernee Simons, thinks he's a bucket, like Anfernee Simons, but he's like a little bit less than him in all of those things. But he's a great rebounding guard, which is something that the Bulls need. He's a good defender, and he's a leader more so than anything else. And that's exactly what he said he can contribute to this team, his leadership. Now, Billy Donovan, in his pregame press conference before they played the Denver Nuggets on Saturday, talked about the number one thing he needs to work on with the new players is their conditioning. What he said basically was these guys have either been out of the rotation on the teams that they were on or at the very end of the rotation. So they were only playing 10, 12, 13 minutes a game. And then he talked about a guy like Anfernee Simons who played on with the Boston Celtics who have the second slowest pace of play. Think about that. You're at the end of a rotation on the slowest paced team or second slowest paced team. And now you come to the Bulls where they're playing super fast pace and you got to play a lot of minutes now because you're being your responsibilities. So he was saying how the conditioning of these guys needs to be ramped up. And if you, I know it's sad to say, I know you didn't watch the Bulls game on Saturday, but the Bulls wavered in the fourth quarter. They were down like 14 early, bounced back, had the lead. They were winning 65-59 at the half. But then the second half came and the conditioning became a problem. Jamal Murray went crazy, who left the game in the fourth quarter, by the way. Jamal Murray went crazy. You know, Strother went crazy. Tim Hardaway Jr. went crazy. Jokic was going crazy. And then the Bulls just couldn't keep up. They didn't have the firepower to keep up with him. And so in the fourth quarter, they kind of just pulled away. And it became bad at that point. Oh, that was painful. That shouldn't be so painful, talking about your favorite team. People ask me about what was like the order. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 the score, 104.3 the score. And people ask me all the time, like, my order of favorite teams. Bulls at the top. And that was a sad 10 minutes right there.
I enjoyed it. You did good.
Did you? You were answering phone calls.
I mean, yes, but we'll get on the other side.
All right, 312-644-6767. If you want to be one of the inaugural members of the Night Owls, because that's who? Yes, you. That's what it is. I say if you want to be the Night Owls, you say who, and I say who? You. 312-644-6767. That's the name of the new crew, because I'm going to be doing a lot of these overnights. Not every day, but a lot of these overnights. So I want to make sure that we are a group, a collective. And so your phone calls on the other side. I would love to chat some Bulls with you, but if you want to talk some Super Bowl and Chicago Bears, we could do that as well. 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local, right here on 104.3 The Score.